Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker, your host. Tonight's share is dedicated to our many brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Specifically, we have a dedication to Shai Yonatan ben Chava. We are praying that he should be Matzliach, together with Aviran ben Sigal, Nissan ben Orit, Gal ben Orit, and again, Achenekol ben Yisrael, that find themselves in Zara. This has been an incredibly challenging period, and we're hoping that our learning provides a chus for all of our amazing Hayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, all of our defenders of Klal Yisrael, that they should find Hatzlacha in all their endeavors. So I'd like to just try to touch upon the personality of Noach, which is much deeper than 10 minutes, but I think that the question that we have to ask ourselves on this parsha is that Noach, as you know, was a tzaddik, right? In the first pasuk, we say that Noach is tzaddik, to nimayah b'derosa, v'esolakim is tzaddik Noach. He had all of the attributes, amazing attributes of tzaddik. We know that a tzaddik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, that when a tzaddik says something, he has a certain koach. So that's an amazing feature that Noach had. The second is that he was tamim, and we all know, we just sang it on Simchas Torah, Torah Hashem Tanima Meshivas Nafesh. He was really like the emblematic image of a person who had all the wonderful qualities that we aspire to. And the third level, as the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar brings down, was Esolakim Es Halech Noach. He had his halach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means he walked in concert with Hashem. As the Baal Shem Tov says, we walk and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. So wherever we turn, we see ourselves, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu right next to us. We're also very much aware, sorry, I'm out in the street in Borough Park, so if it gets a little noisy, you'll pardon me. But we have a concept in the Gemara, in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that says that a person should always strive to be Tov La Shamayim V'Tov La Brios. He should be good with Hashem, and he should be good with mankind. In Yiddish, my father would say to me when I was a little boy, he would say that you should be, always remember that you should be to God's delight. You should be good with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should be good with mankind. It's the same language, but in Yiddish, of course, it has its own tam v'reach. It has its own beautiful, you know, spice, so to speak, a spice of life. And we know that Noach excelled in one feature, the former, but not the latter. Noach was really amazing in both qualities. Noach was a person who was built on improving himself. And unfortunately, even after working for 120 years to build this teva, it still didn't impress upon him this amazing realization that there might actually be a flood. Just thought that this was a social exercise. God told me to do this. I'm doing whatever God says to do. Because Esolakim Es Halech Noach. He always worked with Hashem. But when it came time for the waters to actually start coming down, because the people were not doing tshuva, and much of that may have to do with the fact that Noach was not involved in the tshuva process. He was not involved in proselytizing, so to speak, the folks to get them to be made aware about the dire circumstances. Yes, you know, whenever someone stopped over and said, hey, Noach, what are you up to? He would say, I'm building an ark. And if they pressed him a little bit further, he would say, well, you know, that mankind may come to a short end very soon if you guys don't, you know, repair your ways. But he wasn't going out knocking on doors. He wasn't the Navi that Hashem would send, like Yonah, to go to a place, a faraway place like Nineveh, to tell the people, you know, verbally, you guys need to stop your behavior. That was not the personality of Noah. He was not an extrovert. In fact, very much so, he was the opposite. He was an introvert. And can you really fault an introvert? Not everybody is built that way. Not everybody is a social butterfly. Can we really be held to account if we're not able to go out and, you know, easily talk to people on a train or on a bus or, you know, in a doctor's office? He starts striking up conversations with people and trying to get them to come closer to God. That's not really what a lot of people are capable of doing. And Noah was no different than I guess the rest of us. So there's a lot of similarities that we have with Noah. However, he was still a tzaddik. And when all of the waters dissipated, he went outside And the Medrash says that he began to cry. Hashem said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Look, all these people, I never really got to know them, but they're all gone. And I can't even communicate with anyone any longer." So Hashem says, "If you would have cried like this, I never would have destroyed the world." And I think that Medrash is so powerful because the Torah begins by saying, the Parsha begins by saying, Eila told us, Noach, Noach, to Noach. Do you know why? Because Chazal tell us that Noach had to come back as a Gilgal. He had to come back as Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is the difference between the two of them? The second Or HaChaim in this week's Parsha tells us a fascinating story of where Noach was walking, so to speak, and he meets up with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, I am greater than you. To which Moshe Rabbeinu was flabbergasted. And he said, my goodness, he said, Ata, you know, you saved your entire family from water, whereas I saved my entire generation. And there was a complete difference. Whereas Noach is told, Akimoses Brisi Itach, that I will establish a new covenant with you, Noach, in the very beginning of this week's Parsha, that Noach said nothing. As Simon and Garfunkel once said, silence. There was nothing that Noach could say. Akimoses Brisi Itach, Noach stood silent, to which Chazal, in some way, are very critical of Noach, and they say, well, it's the May Noach. It don't just look at it as the great waters that the people succumb to. Rather, look at it as Noach's waters, because Noach was held to account. And the Kedushas Levi picks up on this. He's very sensitive to this, and he says, you know what we can learn from this? That when Moshe Rabbeinu was told the same words, Zaki Moses Bisi Itach by the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu stands up in defiance, something very, very unusual. And he says that if you plan on doing this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mechei Na Mesifach HaShek HaSavta, we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu said, then erase me from your holy book, which is how Rabbi Artskol may translate it. But my audience here at Share Enjoyment is far more intelligent, and they will look at it differently. They will look at it as the Kedushas Levi sees it, that the word Mecheni is four letters. Scramble those letters, you end up with Mei Noach. Mecheni is also Mei Noach. The first letter, last letter, Mecheni, Noach. Mei Noach. And so what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? I came back as a Gilgal to correct the shortcomings of my predecessor, who did not stand up in defense of the Jewish people, who did not stand up in defense of the rest of the world. Please do not destroy the Jewish people. Do not destroy, because you promised in the Parshas Noach at the tail end that you would never do this again. Hashem relented, and Hashem did not destroy the world through water. That's what the Hatzacha, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mecheni, remember the Mei Noach. You may be very upset because Klal Yisrael is not following the mitzvot that they need to be adhering to. However, there's a promise that you had instructed, that you had given, and Moshe Rabbeinu was remembering, explaining how this is key is being attacking the world by standing up in defiance. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu then say? So what is Moshe Rabbeinu really saying? Noach was Elohim, is Midas HaDin, can't stop Din from happening. Din is strict judgment. But Moshe Rabbeinu influenced HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see the other side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Midas HaRachamim, the Yurkei Vavkei, Hashem Hashem Karachum V'chanun. You are a merciful God. You are a patient God. You understand that as human beings, we're prone to error and we make mistakes. And that's what we all do. Several Yipol Tzadik become several times the Tzadik has to fall. Each time, says Rabbi Nachman, that a person falls, much like a trampoline, they go down. The deeper they go down, the higher they fly up. Every time we fail at something, every time Ray Kroc failed 49 experiments until he got his shoestring French fries just right, the mega billionaire that he eventually rose into. So we need to fall sometimes. And when we do, we rise up. But when we look at Parshas Noach, the question that we have to ask ourselves as a brief introduction, which I'm actually I'm doing not so bad on time, is that he was a tzaddik, as we said. He was tamim, tzaddik, and then he had his halchus. And yet, despite this, he was a mamin de eno mamin. He was a believer, but not a believer in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to exact a certain form of judgment that he was not yet ready to comprehend and understand. Hashem says, he's the mamin de eno mamin. Noach found himself in a position where I understand that there might be some water, but I don't think it's going to be that bad. Maybe this is just an exercise in building, building a ship. Maybe, and now I'm a new carpenter. But I don't really know whether or not Hashem is going to deliver on his word. He was a mamon deino mamon. And I think that this past week, coming out of Shabbos into Simchas Torah, we all questioned ourselves, how misameach can we truly be at a time when we're hearing catastrophic losses, 13 communities overwhelmed by these animals, Hamas terrorists, that butchered and did terrible things, a modern-day Tisha B'Av, to Klal Yisrael. And we all felt a sense of helplessness here in America, and even probably mostly acutely in Eretz Yisrael. People were being mislameach, and all of a sudden their simcha turned to horror. And we still, in a way, feel very helpless. However, there are amazing videos that are coming out that are showing that there are weddings in the streets of Ari Yehuda, that there are asanim, there are kalos that are getting married, even during this difficult time period, that there was a rescue of hostages in a small community, I think it was near Am, and they managed to have a success story here, another success story over there. And the people and the chayalim are all galvanized by these amazing small miracles that are happening around them, including one that involves saving a Sefer Torah from being destroyed. And at a time when Klal Yisrael were at each other's necks over the judicial political reform in Eretz Yisrael, where the right and the left were fighting one another left and right, the right and left, now all of a sudden everyone is united behind one cause, which is, how do we preserve Klal Yisrael? How do we strengthen one another? How do we lift each other up? And it's unfortunate at times that we have to resort to these measures. But this has been a time of incredible unity and growth and potential. So there is a time when we do feel that, yes, Hashem will deliver, but they know mom, and we don't think it's going to happen. But when it does happen, then we have to act. And the way Klal Yisrael is responding to this with all the emergency relief efforts and the constant shipment of food and supplies and medical equipment and gear and the constant rotating initiatives of El Al Flight. Just yesterday, I went with some members of Chevra Tzala of Union County to Newark Airport to support the reservists that are going back to serve in the army. And of course, a consensus among even the Gedolei Yisrael that now's the time for us all to be making a mishaberach, even in times past when that whole topic may have been very taboo and not said at all. Now we understand what we're dealing with, and I'm hopeful that we should take the positive energy. Rabbi Mansour recently gave a shiur, and I just wanted to dovetail upon this, and then I'll probably close out by trying to impress upon us the need not to see very graphic images of brutality, that we should try our best to ask our friends on WhatsApp not to just simply send messages, but we should try our best to find positive energy and positive messages, because when we view things that are very, very difficult for the eyes to watch, we become a captive to that captive. And our hearts and our minds become frozen. We're unable to operate. We're unable to think. We're unable to be constructive and be productive. We become literally frozen in time. And this past week was for me personally an example of where my daughter was trying to get out of Eretz Yisrael, and finally, she got on a flight. She went to Athens, my 16-year-old, and she ended up in Milan. And then on Thursday night, we picked her up from JFK. It was, and then my other daughter is still there in Yerushalayim, and we're nervous, but she wants to stick it out, and she wants to be there, and she's helping prepare Shabbos meals, she's helping with babysitting, she's helping with tutoring children, and I'm very proud of Sivya, but I'm proud of all my girls, but I'm really proud of her resolve to help where she can. And I think that's what we're all doing at this time. Everyone is davening. We're saying Tehillim, and we should continue to say Tehillim. We're saying a Mishaberach. We should continue to do that. We're learning. We're dedicating our Shiurim in honor of the Chayalim, and we're doing all that we can in terms of resourcing and strategic planning and operational efficiencies to make sure that our Chayalim are well-equipped, certainly successful in their endeavor. This is actually... I heard someone say, this is an opportunity that doesn't present itself too often. Now it's up to Israel and the government to decide how to proceed forward. We're hoping that in the same way that this came about, it goes away and never, ever, ever returns, so that Klal Yisrael can live in peace, and we should all find success in our endeavors. And then the way that we're davening and learning for others is the way that they're thinking about us. There was actually one of my friends told me that there was a Chiloni soldier who said that he's not religious by any stretch of the means, but he actually feels the tefillos coming forward. He feels the learning. He feels the koah. He feels that strength. And that's the type of strength. That's the type of messaging that we need to tap into. We need to be able to channel our tefillos, our emotions, through a level of positive, not negative energy. And when we do that, it reverberates around the world, and others who may not be exposed to this cannot get enough of it. So we have to remember to remain steadfast, confident, secure, and full of bitachon, emuna, that Klal Yisrael will achieve its objective in this time frame, which is no different than the Yom Kippur War, which is no different than the Sinai War, which is no different than the Six-Day War. This is a very critical time for all of us, and this week will be a very challenging time for all of us. And I just want to encourage everybody to try your best to refrain from seeing things that are graphic and very difficult to watch. Try to find those video clips of where there is simcha in times of distress. And we should be able to go from the afela liora, shiva legula. Have a wonderful week. This is Mordechai Plotker, Borough Park, Brooklyn, New York. Take care.